There was a musical group years ago. They were called the Highwaymen, and they had these four guys that were all independent musicians, but they came together once in a while, and they would all save the best guy for last. So the first guy they'd roll out would be Kris Kristofferson, and then Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and then out to bring the house down was always Johnny Cash. And so I think the church does something similar with Advent. She saves her best for last. So we heard a lot about Isaiah, the prophet, St. John the Baptist, the forerunner to Christ, and now it's a time for mothers, the Blessed Mother. There'd be no Christmas without Mary. She's the one who said yes. She conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a miraculous birth, unlike any other birth that ever took place in our world. And so we meditate on these things, and I was trying to come up with some images, and there was a guy named James Herriot. He was a British veterinarian, and he wrote these books, All Creatures Great and Small. The great books, I've only read a couple, but they're always, they're put into a TV form too. I think PBS runs these little episodes. They're really well done. There are a number of seasons. And I grew up on a farm, and so you know that veterinarians are really sacrificial, that animals don't get sick in any particular plan. They just kind of, whenever you have a cow in labor, different things, veterinarians have to, they work hard. They have to get out there at the right time. And a lot of things on a farm, they can go wrong too, right? That's, I remember one time we had a cow, we could hear it was moaning, and so my mom and I went out. It was in the spring, and it got its back down the hill. I grew up in Crawford County. It's the driftless area, right? The glacier missed that section, so there are a lot of hills. And a cow, when it gets its back down the hill, it gets its feet up, and it can't move. And cows are big. They're like 1,000 pounds. And my mom and I, there was nothing we could do. There was no vet that was available. My dad was gone. And all that weight was compressing and crushing its internal organs. Sadly, that cow died that night. I remember my parents would really grieve when an animal died, and there were a lot of things that were, you know, kind of traumatic, but some beautiful things too. When a cow was going to give birth to a calf, oh, it's miraculous. I mean, the new life. I remember though, once in a while, if a cow was struggling, you'd have to, the hooves and the head would come first, right? But sometimes, for some reason, it just wasn't working. And Dad would have to reach in with these clamps, and we'd always have a chain, and we would pull and pull, and whoosh, out would come the baby calf. It was a bit of a mess, but a miracle too, and the cow would lick it off, and within minutes it was just up and off it went. We've got some babies here today, and it takes us a lot longer to get on our feet. I had a brother, it took him 8 years before he started to walk. Anyway, it took him longer than that to learn how to tie his shoes, but anyway, it's but the miracle of life. And to recognize that for those of you who are mothers, you share in something that I can imagine it's painful, but what a blessing to see new life, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. In the case of Mary, that she, all the DNA is from her, right? That this miracle, this is what the church invites us to meditate on, the role of Mary and how her life can affect ours, even all these centuries later. St. Louis de Montfort, he lived in the 1700s, he really kind of helped us to understand, well, what role does Mary play in salvation? What role does she play in our life? And how can she inspire us and help us by her prayers and her example? He wrote this book called The True Devotion to Mary. And he said that when Jesus came to earth, how did he do it? The Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin betrothed to Joseph. And so he said, if we get close to Mary, the Holy Spirit will recognize and then he'll produce Jesus in us. I hope that every now and again people would accuse us of looking like Christ, that we live like him, forgive like him, we serve like him. I hope that we get caught being a Christian every now and again, that somehow the life of Christ is evident in us, that people can see that we read the gospel and we're trying to embrace it, we're trying to become more like the Lord. This is why the devotion to Mary is such a powerful thing. Praying the rosary, there are different things that come from these devotions that maybe we'll just talk about two. One is there's something about Mary when it comes to peace. A mother has a very powerful way of consoling us. When we're sick or sad or afraid, we run to Mama and she says it's going to be okay. And that's what we do with the Mother of God. From the cross, Jesus said, behold your mother. So we ask her to help us. I remember one time we had a CCD class on a Wednesday night, and it was right before the Christmas break, and the kids, they want to be there. They're all restless. And the teacher, he said, let's pray our decade of the rosary. By the end of that decade, they were all kind of, well, they were disposed. They were kind of relaxed. They were ready to learn. It has a way of doing that to us. I mean, maybe sometimes too much, right? friends of mine, they would always pray the rosary in the car, and my classmate, he would always fall asleep every time. I mean, he's just out. You know how repetitive it is. And I remember one time we'd been done with the rosary for 20 minutes, and he woke up, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." I said, "We've been done for a while, actually. It's over. You could just..." But the rosary, the family that prays together stays together. That was Father Patrick Peyton, and his dad used to lead the rosary. So he, as a priest, was a great promoter of prayer, a chain of love that our families have their own hurts and sometimes real division. But we should never give up. We should always pray. We should be persevering. And this is what Mary did. She was praying always for us, never would abandon that great vocation. A second thing that Mary helps us with is to be docile. Life does not go the way that you plan it. It just has its own rhythm, for better or worse. Friends of mine, they were having their second child, and she went into labor in the middle of the night. She said, "We got to hurry." They're flying down Highway 13, and it was too late. They had to pull in the Fleet Farm parking lot, and that's where that little girl was born. Friends of mine, same thing. They were, and the wife said, "Come on, let's go. We got to pack everything up." And all of a sudden, she said, "Too late." And he delivered the baby at home. Imagine, I mean, he'd never done this before. I said, "How did it go?" "Oh, it was a little messy, but even so," he called the hospital and they said, "Well, this is what you do, and hurry up and get the kid in here." So life does not go the way that we plan it. And sometimes it can be almost cruel. But Mary was steadfast. She was faithful, as she knew that this child was destined for the rise and fall of many. A sword of sorrow would pierce her heart. There'd be terrible things that this woman would have to endure. But she had the deepest faith of any human being that ever lived. And so she could stand at her son's cross and never give up, that somehow God would draw straight with these terribly crooked lines, that he would do something, even here at the foot of the cross, he would redeem all of it. Having a devotion to Mary, that's why the church, she saves her best for last. And now we come to this time, just before the birth of our Lord, and Daisy's very excited. You hear her? She's telling us, "It's okay, keep it moving here, Father. That's enough. We've had enough homily this morning." But what does a devotion to Mary look like today? We had this parish mission 2 months ago, and there were these testimonies, and they were really one of the best part. People would come up and just share how God had worked in their life. And this one guy said that he and his wife, they had 2 sons, and they were thinking about having another baby. And he told his wife that, "I think God has put it on my heart. What do you think?" And she said, "Well, I should have told you this, honey, but I've been praying to God that I told him, if you have a child with special needs that you want to send to our community, you can send that child to us." When I heard him say that about his wife, I said, this is true faith. That's a faith far greater than I have, that's for sure. And God answered their prayers. He sent them a little boy with Down syndrome who's been a gift in their life and in a lot of other people's lives because they teach us how to love. That our value is not in what we do, but who we are. And the image and likeness of God shines in every one of us because we're made by that God. Mary believed, she hoped, she trusted. And so there's something about her that we are moved by, touched by. She's God's greatest creature. And he made her for his son. He also made her for us. And so it's right and just that we thank him and we imitate her.